Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. It's Sunday, April 30th, the last day of April, 8 p.m. And you're listening to Conversation with A&A, where we get things to happening up in here. Now, you can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram with Conversation with AA. Again, that's Conversation with AA. And tonight's call-in number is 515-605-9322. Again, that's 515-605-9322. And I would like to say that we have a lot of good things in store for our listening audience. And we're working on a few good things. So stick with us, you know, follow us and see what's going on and keep up to date with us. Tonight I'm here. I'm your host, Avon, and we have our lovely co-host, Angela. Angela, are you here?
Yes, I am, Avon. Thank you for talking to the intro. How are you tonight?
I am well. I am well. You know, it's so much has been going on lately, this week, this year. It's just so much going on in the world today, and we're going to discuss them tonight. So what's going on with you? What's going on with you? What's happening?
On my end, everything positive. Everything is, you know, copacetic. Everything, you know, what I feel like what I put out in the ethers is what I'm going to get back, right?
Amen. Amen.
So that's right. So whatever you put out there, that's what's going to be returned unto you. So there's a saying, as a man thinketh, so is he.
That's right. And that's right. You want to break that down for our listening audience a little bit more so they can understand how we think and how we speak around here? You want to break that down for them?
No, it's like what you think, you know, whatever you put in your, whatever you put up there in the universe, that's what you get back. So if you put love, prosperity, hope, that's what you get back. But if you put anger, frustration, and all the negative aspects of what's wrong in your life, what is going wrong in your life, then you're going to see more of it or you're going to achieve. So, you know, I like to work from a metaphysical point of view. You know, we talk about religion. We're going to be talking about that. But also, I like to add in there, I believe, if you read your Bible, I believe Jesus was working from a metaphysical view. You know, for example, when he said, you know, the disciples he was supposed to speak, he told them to be reborn again. And they questioned that, and they said, how could we be reborn again if we already born? How could we, do we go, I'm just paraphrasing, he said, allegedly paraphrasing, should we go to our mother's womb and be born? And he said, and I said, he wasn't talking about that type of renewing of your mind, to be reborn or how you, to be reborn in the spirit, okay? So Jesus was a metaphysical, I would say he was a metaphysical teacher. All right. So that's what I like to come from that perspective, because now you feel as though you have more in control. You don't have to sit around and just wait, guys. Right. So, you know, there's a God out there, you know, but you do have certain powers within you. You have certain control. So that's what I say, as a man thinketh, so is he or she. You have to use the universe to assist. Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, around here, we have our own vocabulary that's going on here. And as the more that you tune in, the more that our listening audience will hear this vocabulary that we have, and they'll catch on and they'll understand and we'll be able to connect. And, you know, they will know our little, you know, terms and stuff that's going on here. And like I said before, we got a lot of things that's going on and a lot of things that we want to get into. The tonight's show is Paul, Angela, let them know what the show is. Give them the title.
Let's talk about it.
We're just talking about.
You know, we're going to talk about religion, family, community. So let's talk about religion, family, and community. That's what we're discussing tonight.
Absolutely. And tonight, and where we're going to start with, we're going to start with religion. You know, and the question is, what are today's expectations of the church? Now, last week you had an incident go on with you, and we happened to be on the phone when it went down, so I got to witness some aspects of it. So you want to share with us your experience that happened last night? I mean, not last night, excuse me, last week.
As you was on the phone with me, I came up to the people that's in the church in my neighborhood. It seemed distressed and distorted. And she asked, there was a couple of people standing in the church. She asked the people that was in front of the church. You can tell that they church members. One was sitting down, one was standing up. Two were standing up and one was sitting down, one lady, that lady. And she came to them directly, and she asked them. She said, pray for me. My mother died. My mother passed away in February something. I need prayer. You know, can y'all pray for me? Can someone pray for me? She looked at her. So I went to approach her because after a while, I seen that. It didn't take, but, you know, a couple of seconds, I seen that they was kind of standoffish. So I went to her, like, to say, okay, I'll do it. But she kind of, like, I was just walking past, but she was really directing it to them. Like, another for me, her whole spirit was, okay, these are the church people. Like, you know, but these people are sitting in front of the church, they church people. So she's like, yeah, because my mother just explained to them. And one lady that was sitting down, she, like, kind of brushed her off. And then another lady said, what do you think? Because I was telling her at the same time to go in the church. I was like, that's a church. Just go in here. Another lady came out and was like, you know, kind of like, okay, what do you need? So she proceeded again with the same story that her mother died February 9th or something like that. And, you know, she need prayer. The lady began to give her 1-800 number. 1-800 number to call. So I'm standing there, and I was in shock, right? So I was about to go about my business, but it just, my spirit didn't let me. I went to proceed again to go speak to her, but she just was like, my woman was gone. So I thought about it. I said, well, maybe that wasn't for me. You understand? You know, because I feel that the creator, God, whatever you want to call it, energy, God has a way of people, okay? Have a way of testing your spirit with that mental state. So I felt that was really for them. And so I said to them, I said, well, the lady asked for, you know, prayer. Like, is that the, usually I'm thinking, you know, biblically, Jesus just prayed. Like, if somebody walked into Jesus, he wouldn't give them a number or tell them, he'd see them tomorrow or wait. You know, in the scriptures, it's like Jesus prayed for people. But then, like, can you imagine you calling on God or, you know, be like, yo, okay, chill. Just, you know, call. He's going to pick up. You know what I'm saying? So the lady to me, she said, well, she asked, can someone pray? Do we have... Oh, she said, so she asked, can someone pray? And it's protocols here. I said, well, Jesus didn't have, Jesus was just confused. She said, do you go to church? I said, no, she said, what, are you Christian? I said, well, I'm non-denominational. I believe in God, right? And so she said, we have protocols here. We have rules and the protocol. We don't do things like that. And I said, wow. And she said, furthermore, she didn't ask us to pray. she, so we gave her the protocol, you know, that we gave her the number. I said, oh, okay. And then one man, I guess he got frustrated, and he was like, okay, you have a nice day. I was like, okay, wow, you know. So I see the same church, and I got even more angry when I think about all the parking space they take up in the community and not doing anything. But I didn't, you know, I was just frustrated with that. And that's why if you can't go to the church and get help, some people need that. Some people are not on of, you know, feeling that they can manifest things on their own. You know, some people
right.
need, they're not, they haven't been initiated to move further from that. So they at a level where they need, you know, the power of Jesus, the power of prayer, the power, they need someone else. They need intervention is considered. You understand?
Right.
And so they can move forward to help themselves. To, you know, to have a better grip on self-help. So, and everyone is not the same. And in the scriptures, it even says that the weak shall, the strong shall bear the burden of the weak.
Correct.
You understand?
Correct.
That's like if you, mm-hmm. you, sometimes you have family members who, you know, they're usually strong, but they might be going through a hard time at that moment. And you be there for them. Don't, that's what we're supposed to do for each other out of humanity, out of love.
That's what I thought
it was. Yeah, but that clearly didn't happen. So that was disturbing to me. So the lady, you know, of course, moved on, and I don't know what she called, but I had a case, Prophet Anthony, the guy that was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I had a situation where a guy, his girlfriend killed herself in front of him.
Oh,
so,
God. I remember.
He, you know, my mother, you know, he's a close friend of ours, the family. So my mother called me. She was, you know, upset because him and her is really close and, you know, sad and everything. So I spoke to him, and he said he wanted to kill himself at the time. And I was like, God, you know, you want to kill yourself? You know, hold on. He was like, no, but that was very traumatic. My girlfriend, you know, she offed herself right there. You know, she, you know, lied to herself, you know. Matter of fact, she told him to go. I guess he went in the hallway or something, and she locked the door behind him, and that's when he was trying to get in, and it was just a mess. So he was very, of course, distorted and, you know, upset and confused and just hurt, and, you know, all of those emotions was going on with him. And he wanted to kill himself. So I told Anthony to come over here so we can try to, you know, like, help. He's a man. Help me with him. And while Anthony was here, and I told him, come over to my house. I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to pray for you. You know, just get in the cab right now. Come over here. He said, okay, you know, I'm on my way. He was crying. So I told Anthony to proceed to come over here, too. While he's over coming over here, I call him. The suicide hotline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling.
Oh,
I'm goodness. Like, I left. Like, matter of fact, I never got in touch with a live. I had to leave like five messages.
Oh.
Five messages I had to leave. So, I was saying to my, like, if he didn't, if you know, if he really needed this service, because they tell you to call, right? He, what would have happened? You know? So, you know, of course, me and Anthony, we prayed for him. We talked him down, and we walk outside. And as we walking with him, he's trying to walk in front of the bus. Okay, he's trying to, like, kill himself. And we, like, trying to, you know, talk him down. And that's serious. Someone's, like, going through trauma. You don't have time to, like, give them a 1-800 number. You don't have time for all of that unless the ISIS truck or whatever that's going on. You know, like, people need immediate attention. You know, everyone is not strong like everybody else. So, you know, like, some people are. He's going through that. I mean, but he's better now, you know, thank God. But it was a state of his life that took him to that edge. And we don't know if it's a situation in our life that may take us. Like, we're away from that, or
you know, one decision away. I remember I heard Monique, the entertainer, she said, we all one decision away from the penitentiary, okay? I mean, you don't know what will happen that may make you snap. Somebody do something to your children, your grandchildren, yourself, defense. You never know. So you will hope that you deal with that situation appropriately.
Absolutely.
But you never know, right? So a lot of organizations, and I've seen this happen with children, you know, advocate children, they say they got services, and then you get involved with the organization and you realize that they don't have any services at all. They refer to outside people, but they getting all this money that's being funneled to them. So it's like, what is really going on here? So, yeah, that was just the situation with that in terms of religion. And I'm not blaming all religion. I'm not blaming all churches. I'm not saying every Christian would do that. I'm just saying what I – and, you know, it was very sad to see that.
Yeah, you know, that was very disheartening just to hear that. And then the other thing where, for me, was a disappointment is how the houses of worship showed up during COVID. You know, that was not cool. Because I'm saying, what is it that you are teaching and preaching to people? People need help. Do you believe that God is almighty and he's in charge over all things? He is the reason why things exist in the world or whatever. So then all of this fear that was going on, where were a lot, I'm not going to say all, where were a lot of these ministers, pastors, however the names that you want to call them, where were they standing up and why weren't they calling their flock in to help them? You know, that was the main time where people needed help. We already have the normal day-to-day issues that go on in the world, homelessness. People are starving, they can't eat, whatever, you know, violence that's going on out in the world. And you, once you come, and that's where you come to fellowship and learn and help and inspire and help build each other up. And then sometimes that's all that people have. So when you run and hide from that, it's like, so what do you do? That's, you know what I'm saying? That would turn a lot of people away. Where's the hope? You know what I'm saying? I'm barely holding on. I'm looking to you because you have that training, that experience. You're supposed to have a in with God. You know, you got that hotline. You can speak up for us or speak on my behalf, whatever. I need help. And then you're going to give me a 1-800 number, call in, or we can't. I feel a way about that. I just feel a way about that. You know, I don't know. I feel a way about that. I don't want to condemn.
No, I did too.
Yeah, I don't want to condemn anybody, but it's just like, what's happening? What's going on? And this is like,
I felt that way too.
Is it me? What again? What is the responsibility? What is the church charged with? They're supposed to be giving us something higher than these mundane happenings that's going on here. You understand what I'm saying? You're falling apart with this earthly stuff here, and you're supposed to have that connection, direct connection. You're supposed to be, you're teaching me and telling me this, and then when you get this challenge here, we fall apart. Now we don't know what's going on. I just feel a way about that. I feel a way about that.
Well,
you know,
religion is different for spirituality. When a person is really tapped in and they really connected or striving for connection, something different shows up, you know, and it just goes to show you can't depend on people all the time. You know, sometimes you could, but evolve from that in terms of, you know, suppose people is not going to, someone's there for you to pray for you. And so, your consciousness, you have to raise your consciousness and become one with yourself. And that takes work, I admit. You understand? But there's a lot of basic stuff that, you know, we so distracted from, you know, death, money, sickness, all these issues that we're dealing with that prevents us from thinking on a higher level, you know, and it affects us thinking that we think outside of ourselves that there's someone else that can help. There's someone else have a connection to God besides ourselves. So now we become, and that happens now, you have to depend on your pastor. You have to depend on your, you know, people to you know, intercede for you. And it's nothing with group communication because I believe in that energy, you know, fellowship, right? I believe in that. But what about when no one is there? So you have to have some, and you know, you have to empower yourself. And sometimes some people can't. So those who, you know, to step in. But you got to be careful on who you even, you know, who you expecting to do those things, because, you know, people just, you, she was talking about a protocol. So, you know, somebody split, they, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to tell them don't do it? Like, you don't protocol telling you what it is, you know? What do you do at that point? You understand? I had this show on. I forgot the show. It was 21. No, it was, I think, 21 Ways. Kayla, what was that show name of 21 Ways to Kill Yourself or something? Not kill yourself, but 8 Ways that it was. I forgot the name of it. Kayla, what was that show name? With the girl, the guidance counselor turned her down? It was a show, right? Maybe Kayla remember why I'm talking to talking about it. It was a show where it was this counselor, a young girl. She went to all her friends, and she was like distressed, and everyone like turned her down. Ended up unaliving herself, but the last person she went to was the guidance counselor. They, you know, she was crying out for help. But before she unalived herself, she left a note to all the people, and it was like a mystery. They had to like unravel it. She left a tape. She videotaped or recorded of who had a role to play. Like these people had a role in her death, in her unaliving herself. So. It was a teen young girl going to school, but the person she spoke to was a guidance counselor, and like kind of she brushed them. I think it was a male brushed her off, and you know what I'm saying. But she left this this tape, so everyone split. You understand? They the reasons why. I forgot the name of it, but they was the reason. Say that again, Kayla. Oh, 16 or 17 reasons why I love myself, you know. That was, yeah, okay. And that was the name of the show, something like that. But this is a perfect example of, you know, you might end up missing, you know, you take for granted someone is just going to just go away and get themselves together. And that might not be the case. So, yeah. So as far as religion, you know, we have to start getting spiritual. Not, you know, these are just institutions where people, and sometimes they get routine, protocols, rules, regulations, and they forget the whole point of your spirit and your soul.
Yeah, that part right there. And you see, and it is quite apparent because we know that there has been a definite breakdown somewhere because there you can plainly see that knowing about dominion is not being taught here, that you don't recognize. First of all, you cannot describe or tell someone else how they have dominion and what power they have when you're not even exercising it for yourself. And you're supposed to be, you know, that entity, that institution to do that. And I don't want to keep placing the blame, but I just want to bring awareness, you know, to that, you know, there's something bigger that's happening here. and then, you know, another direction that we may need to go into and to seek, and about, as you said, let's get the spirituality. It's not so much religion. Religion is a way to get you organized and get you on a path to that spirituality. It gives you, what's the word I'm looking for, because we talk about it and we say this all the time, but it's a guideline. It gives you guidelines, and, you know, to help you get to help understand ideals and see and to build. But I mean, I don't know, just the basics. It's rough. But then again, the bigger picture is, guess who's responsible for that? Guess who's responsible for that? And who has to step up for that? Can you guess? And this is my opinion, what I think. But do you have an idea?
Who has to step
what?
Up? But if somebody going to unalive themselves?
No, not just unalive. No, I'm talking about in general, like how we started at the beginning when we were talking about churches and religion and stuff, that who is going to be responsible for, you know, helping to teach us and then us in turn teaching our children and teaching those that come behind
us. You can play a role in it. Everyone can play a role in it. You know what I'm saying? Everyone could, you know, it's not about who's responsible. It's about, but if you put yourself in those type of, you know, if you put yourself in that type of environment, then of course you have a role to play. You understand? You have something to do with what's going on. You know, if you say you're a pastor, preacher, you know, I was going to take responsibility because I feel I'm a child of God. I was going to take responsibility and pray for her, but she seemed like she didn't want, you know, she away from me, and she went towards them. And at that moment, I felt like I kind of knew that she, them, you know, she didn't know, she didn't feel like, she knew I wasn't part of the church or whatever. So, we can all take a stand. You understand? But this was directed directly towards them.
So,
the movie I was talking about was 13 Reasons Why. It was a high school student, you know, a bunch of high schoolers, and one of their friends committed suicide, and she left all these tapes and clues and, you know, all this stuff on each party. Each person had a role to play on why she did what she did. Yeah, the movie. Very interesting. I watched it with my daughter. Yeah, but Avon.
No, that's good. Just that movie, just picking up on that. Yeah, it's this person, from what I'm picking up, is that she allowed people to see the roles that they play in other people's lives and not to be so cavalier in what you say and how you treat people, because it has an extreme and profound effect on people's mental. And how they record, you know, and how they may proceed in handling certain things. So, yeah, and I think that is something that we all need to think about. Yeah, be careful what you say and what you put out there. You know, be about building. Well, let me speak for myself. You know what? I want to be careful with that because I don't want to tell people what to do they got to do it this way. I feel that, you know, for me, if I'm not going to build you up or I don't have anything good or to help you move forward, then I'd rather back up or be quiet, you know, and leave you alone instead of tear you down. And see, and what that means, sometimes with the tough love and when you say things, it may seem hard to them, but it's the spirit in which you send it. You know what I'm saying? You don't just go out there and tell, you idiot, you this and that. What are you? This was such and such. It's just that, okay, look, it's correction. You want to give correction and that, you know what? How you move in there is maybe not the best way to go about it. how about, or do you think, you know, have that, have those discussions? So do you think maybe there is another way that you can do this? What are your thoughts on this, whatever? But we have to have those conversations, those tough conversations, and you have to do it out of love. Because people are so broken and hurt now, and as we talk about the sensitivity, people are sensitive. And then if you say the wrong thing, and when people are going through things, whatever, they hear something some type of way, you didn't mean it that way, whatever, and they're ready to go off, you know, and cause mayhem or what have you. But the thing is, I would say this, when you know how to tap in and when you get in alignment and you know how to connect, that you will be protected. You will get guidance on how to handle a particular situation. You know what I'm saying? You know, with like the firemen, know there's you don't use the same extinguisher on different types of fire. On a grease fire, you do not use water because that will cause it to spread and you cause more damage. You need to know what tool it takes to get the job done. It's just you want to build up and increase your arsenal of building of your tools that build and to help yourself and others go along. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Am I rambling? Am I all over the place? I'm just, you know, it's just these things, I feel a way. I just feel a way about it, you know. So, I don't know. Am I cuckoo loco?
Yeah.
No, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Angela thinks I'm cuckoo loco.
No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. You're not cuckoo loco at all. No, I mean, you know, these things happen. So, if you see it, you help out or you keep it moving. So I guess they felt like you listened. Shit. But like I said, don't claim it. You ready to live up to that?
Correct. Well, I mean,
it was right there. That. Like, you don't have to be perfect, but Jesus Christ, you know?
For real. You know, I would like to say for that sister out there who needed that prayer and help and assistance, you know, I pray that she did receive that. And I'll stand in agreement with her that, you know, that she gets that help or she gets that healing that she needs to soothe and quiet her spirit, because that's a big one. And that's hurtful and painful. And the thing is, and that's her hurt. But you know what? As deep as that hurt is, you got a lot of people out here that's feeling a similar to them. It's devastating, this hurt, and they need that healing. And people are acting out and doing all sorts of things. So I pray that we all get the help that we need, that we're seeking out here, you know. So I just want to say that, you know, for all of those that need and seek healing, that they get that, you know. Okay. So, and with that, I would like to move on to a next topic that we're talking about, and that's unruly children. And it's just, before we get started, I want to say this. Before we go there, I want to mention the copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976. So this is for learning purposes, for building purposes, you know. So that's where we want to go with this. So what I want to do right now is I'm going to play a couple of clips, and I want you to listen to this first, and then we're going to discuss it. So I'm going to attempt this. Hopefully this works out for us here. Yeah, so let me do the first one. Angela, you let me know if it's coming through.
No, it's not coming through. No, it's not coming through.
Oh, no. Let me try it again.
No.
No, still no?
No, maybe let me, I don't know if I can do it. Hold on for a minute. Is that video, which one, with the little boy?
Okay, you have two. One is with the little girl that says, little Jamaican girl.
And one with, which one you play?
Right now we're playing is the little Jamaican girl cussing a big man. That link, it will say that at the bottom.
Yeah, but you can hear it though. Yours you can't hear, and I don't think mine's able to either. All right, let me just see. You can hear it?
Yes, I can. I can hear it.
Let me just go over. This is a little girl, a little Jamaican girl. She's cussing out a man, a grown man, and a couple of grown men that was kind of like interacting with 3 years. I think she was 2 or 3 years old. And that's what you hear. That's what you, the listeners, that's what y'all hearing. So hopefully y'all can hear. Ava, can you still hear it clearly? I'm going to play it.
I heard it was just turn up the volume a little bit and hold it closer to the speaker. Play a couple of more, a
All
couple
right.
more seconds of it, and then we're going to go to the little boy. Okay.
All right, can you, that is, yeah.
Okay, let's try the next one. And turn up the volume as much as you can. I don't know if you have it on the.
I can't turn up the volume, or I can't. Yeah, I got it high enough. Hold on.
It's coming on the phone or the, okay. So let's try the boy, little boy, maybe that one.
I think it's
No, I can't hear it as clear, Angela. You know what? I can't hear it. Not hearing it clearly.
All right. Well, explain to what you you want to convey.
Okay. What was going on, and the point of what we're trying to do here is showing something that is not a rare thing that's happening. We're seeing more of it happening more and more, not just in the islands, what have you, in America and across the country. And we're focusing on what's going on with our children. And the title of these videos is basically saying the children have no home training and that they're out there cutting up and carrying on out there with the little girl. The situation is she's only about 3 years old, maybe four, if that much, but she's in here fussing like a teenager or a grown woman, and she's arguing that she has the audacity to be arguing with grown folks. I mean, if you see it, when you get a chance, you look it up on YouTube. It's called Little Jamaican Girl Cussing a Grown Man. And she got her hands on her hips, waving her hands and talking about, you know, that just talking to these people like she's grown. And they better basically get out of her face and don't leave her alone and so on and so forth. And then the thing is, first, some folks are taken aback by it, but then others, you hear them laughing in the background. That's not cute, and we got to stop doing that. Oh, it's so cute. Look at her fussing like a little woman here, whatever. That's not cute. That shows that there is a breakdown and that there's a problem. First of all, where she get it in her to have these type of conversations, to have all of this energy, to be fussing and cussing someone out, grown people out. Where is she seeing this? Where she's getting this from? That's the problem. And then you have the little boy. He's outside of school, and he looks like he's about the same age. This looks like a pre-K child. He may be about 4 years old or so. And he's standing outside of the school building, and the mistress, the teacher, would not let him into the classroom because he's screaming at the top of his lungs, cursing. The way that he's screaming, he looks like that he's possessed. The way that he's screaming and carrying on and talking, and then if you listen, you hear this young boy cursing his teacher, telling her F you, putting up his middle finger at her and screaming at the top of his lung, and it's just like, and then the venom in his eyes and the vitriol that he's throwing at this teacher, but she remains calm and telling him, yes, okay, really, and is that so? And so on and so forth. And he's getting angrier and angrier. And then you see his eyes going off to the side because he's looking at the person who's suing them. Then you see him put up both hands in the middle finger, telling them, F you, and what have you. And the thing is, and then you see the students, his classmates, they're looking at him like, what's going on with him? And they're taking all this in. There's just so many, if you want to, you take the time, you just see so many of these clips, and that's the bad thing. Why are we seeing all of these things? Where are kids getting this that they can carry on like this? That you have the right to talk to an adult like you're an adult, get up in their face, curse them, tell them things, certain conversation that you're having. How do you know about this? Why would you know about these things? You understand what I'm saying? So it's just like, fault is it? Should we blame the children? Is it the children's fault? You know, they're just possessed by the devil and what have you. So, you know, that's who it is, but it's not my fault. You know, I'm out here working. I got to do what I got to do, and this kid's carrying on. Or, you know, who's responsible for this? And, you know, well, let's start there before I start asking so many questions. Angela, you have any thoughts on this, or have you, you know, seen anything like this or experienced anything like this? What are your thoughts on this? Hello, are you there, Angela?
Yeah, I've seen worse than that, so that's not an issue. For the three-year-old little girl, she was out of order, but the thing was still agitating her. They was going back and forth. You don't go back and forth for a three-year-old. She lowered them down to her level. You say what you mean what you say, check a kid, and I said, you don't have to go back and forth. So they was going, exactly. The video was 3 minutes. So 3 minutes, and that's just what the video was showing, that you had grown men arguing with a three-year-old little girl. She said, yeah, you're about not saying nothing to me. You're not going to do nothing to me. You know, Jamaican boys. And they were saying, what you going to do? What y'all going to do? Okay, what y'all going to do? Okay? And so you're going back and forth with a little three-year-old. That's number one. Number two, people in the background was laughing. So it's not the little girl for it. It's they for it. You're supposed to show, if you got 30, 40 years on a little girl,
that's 3 years old, or you 30 and she 3, you got a little bit more experience. Hey, a couple of more years over her, right? You gonna let her master you?
So you would think that you have it over them.
So that was their fault. And as far as the little boy, she was a female. Sometimes these little boys, most of them, they need male teachers. Okay? They need male teachers. Sometimes male teachers handle things different than female teachers. You know, my son, for example, he goes to a whole different school. He goes to a whole boys school now. Prior to that, I had problems with him. Matter of fact, I think we have somebody on the line now that I spoke to about. I think that's Abdul. I'm not sure. But kind of similar, you know, situation with my youngest one. He was doing a lot of rebelling in school. Now he's part of this new school, and with men, and they're not going to be going back and forth, grown men. You know, I remember one time he came, come on, you don't believe, you know, the teachers that hit a kid back. Those teachers, you hit them, they're hitting you back. Or, you know, you get in their face, they get in your face. I said, really? He was like astonished. But see, that's a whole different type of, like, but one thing he also said is that if he have a problem, they don't disrespect them for everybody. They take them out the classroom and speak to them like they're human. He mentioned that too. And he's, you know, throughout his years of going to school, this is where I'm seeing him happy to go to school. But it's a different environment. It's men, young boys. And then they bring in other men that has different professions, black men that, you know, are pilots and you know, engineers and all kinds of professions. So they get to see that. All right. Very good. And so it's the children, it's the community, it's the parents, it's the community. Everybody has to be involved. And if parents, sometimes parents, you know, they have. I would like to, you know, I'm not blaming at no one, but I'm gonna speak on it with your children. When children now can call the cops and they got more rights, and the government rights for a reason, because I believe they want to. And this is just my opinion, okay, allegedly, my opinion, I'm just speaking for me, I feel that they want to pervert the children. Well, all this stuff that's going on, I feel that they, you know, they're putting all this pressure. Children can make decisions for themselves. They can get, you know, sex changes. They could do this, they could do that. And parents feel helpless, okay? Parents don't have the parental control and guidance that they once did have. And that's for a reason. You're gonna and look what's going on now with all this teen killing, teen shooting, young adult shooting and killing. Okay, because they out of control, because we gave them that control. Where do they from? What do they feel so free? Why they feel so free to do this? So we have to look at it as, okay, we the adults there. It takes a village for us to come together and raise children, right? That's just one child. So imagine. So it's that doing something that we are not allowing. We're participants in that.
Okay, so then we are, so to be clear, so make sure that I'm understanding what you're saying. So the thing is, it's a community thing, and it's we, the adults, have to step up and move first. We got to lead the way. Or do we sit back and think that these children are going to do this by themselves?
No, we got to lead the way. No, I would say to a single parent, like, you know, I want to get, if you don't mind, can we put in, I think I see someone that we're familiar with, if you don't mind, or you want to just keep talking first?
No, Well, you know what? Give the title of the show again and give the calling number, and then let's take our caller.
So the show tonight is Let's Talk About It. We're talking about religion, family, and community. You know, what's going on in the community, just basic information on news, what's going on. Open mic tonight. So let's talk about it. The call-in number is 515-805-9322. Callers, you can call in now. Listeners, you can call in now. It's 515-605-9322. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and
Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at Conversations with AA. So let's go to the phone lines. And I just want to say about the community thing that it is takes the community to raise children, to help out. Before I go to the phone lines, I remember we had a caller on that was, you know, get people involved in your kid's life, especially with boys, get them in programs. You know, get the support that you need. Don't feel like you out here alone. You understand?
Correct.
Go use these services that's out here. Some of these community organizations get millions of dollars to help troubled teens. Get them involved. They have zip programs for kids. You know, get people in your children's life that's going to talk, you know, help them out. Get family and friends involved, you know. And if they don't want to get involved, other people involved. There's people out here that can help out. And it's not that you're weak or you know your kid. Is that it's other influences that's going on. When your kids leave your house, they're exposed to a lot. Drugs, sex, just like we were. Homosexuality, sexual preferences, man, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot thrown at them. So let's get to the phone lines. Avon, you got a lot of background noise.
I'm sorry. Got it together now. So you still hear it? It's done? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
it's going.
All right. Okay. So you want
let me go.
Caller?
Put it in 7401. I think that's our regular, but just in case it's not, state your name and city and state where you're calling from. Do you have questions, comments? Hello, caller? Caller with
Did
the
you
last
say 7491?
Yeah, that's you. 7491,
that's
you. 7491, you said 01.
Yeah, for some reason, my cell phone, how y'all doing?
Okay.
Yeah, my cell phone.
Fine.
Yeah, my cell phone wouldn't be able to dial that number. I got to find out what that is tomorrow. I dialed your number, and it's going to tell me that number is not valid for me to dial. That's what I got. Some crazy stuff.
Oh,
I got
because now it charges. It depends on it depends on your carrier. It said that you couldn't dial in, or what did it say?
It said something that wasn't on my dialing plan or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's starting to do that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That happened to me, too. Like, I have to pay per minute. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, yeah, that's one thing.
But speaking on the issues that everybody was talking about, the government has taken control away from parenthood. They want the kids now to become all the wards of the state. So the government controls your kids. You know? And it's nothing. Straight out, because I work for the criminals, it's nothing nobody can do about it. All you got to do is try to teach your kids that they have to respond to you, or they have to live somewhere else. That's the only way you can do that.
Yeah,
you got to get through to them that way, or they ain't going to do nothing different than what they're doing. They're cursing their parents out, telling their parents what they can't do to them and all this kind of stuff. And see, a lot of parents, they try to buy their children. all the expensive clothes, all the expensive gears and the new phones and everything else. And that's not the way to deal with these kids. You know, you always, with all children, you have to limit things they have and limit things they can do, you know, in order for you to maintain that control. You know, and you got to get them involved with something that they have an interest in also. So to keep them out of the streets, keep them away from drugs and gangs and bad people. Because bad people, even in children, bad children can be influence the other kids to make them bad kids. You know, and parents today got, man, their rights are just gone. I mean, it's just like no say-so whatsoever. You got kids cursing some people out of school.
And tell me from the point of view, I agree. From the government point of view, we got to still try to hold on to,
yes.
You got to maintain some type of control, because guess what? If something goes wrong with the, they're going to blame you anyway. So you got to, you know.
You know what's funny? When you said that, I remember an incident about when I was a child myself, and the principal was talking to my parents about something I did in school. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I said, don't blame me for it. I said, because whatever I do, you go get my parents involved. So I said, if I do something, blame them, because they're the ones responsible for what I do. I said, so I'll put the weight back on them. And the principal says, this is why I don't talk to your son. You know, it was just funny, and whatever you said made me remember that. But, you know, God, it's hard to say. But I counsel kids at high school up here, but I won't counsel the little kids, because the little kids, they just, to me, more unreachable than the teenagers. Because I don't know what they do at home, but obviously the parents at home are not teaching their kids the right thing. I think what it is at home, they let the kids just watch TV, do whatever they want to do, and don't control the kids' environment, you know, like they should. You know, they watch these violent, oh, man, and video games. You know, when I was back in the 80s, I worked on a project called Caltech. It was about video games, right? RCA gave me time, and I worked for RCA at the time. They said I wanted to work on this project because, you know, you like to mess with gadgets and stuff. I said, yeah, sure. So they gave me 2 hours a day to work on this project about video games. And it was to make make the games more attractive and more people getting involved with it. And at that time, it was for adults. But see, that was the gimmick. That's what we thought we was doing. It was actually for the future, for kids. They got these people now playing games all over the world against people, and the games are violent for kids. Blowing up, shooting up, chopping up, stabbing people, running people over with cars, you name it, even raping. They got a rape game out there. You know, I don't know if it's been pulled yet, but it was out there. Guys raping girls, girls, gang of girls raping the guy, and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's like the world now has went mad. You know, and the thing is, everything is geared towards the children, because they want to affect their minds and their mindset. No matter what they're taught at home, they want them to be taught something else, be different, so they can rebel against their parents, you know.
So
what would you suggest that the parents do? Because if you see this and you know that this is going on, so what would you suggest the parents do about this?
Well, what I think the parents should do is let their kids know they can live one or two places. They can live at home, and they're going to mind and apply themselves by the rules that's set, or they can live in a home, you know. So, you know, you give them that option. You don't want to live here, okay, then I'll put you in a home where you can live with a bunch of people that you don't even know. Live under their rules and their guidelines and see how you like that. But, you know, you got to enforce that because the kids think you ain't going to do nothing for them. You know, so that's the only way you can go with that because you can't physically hit them or beat them or do anything to them no more, which some kids needs an ass whooping. I know that for a fact because I got it every day and I needed it. That kept me somewhat straight, but not fully. But, you know, some kids need that, you know. And I, when I was a kid growing up, I took it as my father was doing his job. You know, when me and him talked about that when I got older, like 15, he said he thought I was going to grow up to hate him. I said, no, Dad. I said, I know you love me. I said, but you did what you had to do. I was a disruptive child, and you had to do your job, and you did it the only way you could. Talking to me was a waste of time. You know, I said, so you had to do the physical thing up to a point where it was useless, and he stopped. You know, when he heard me tell a friend of mine that when I was 12 years old, I said, let me run in the house. He was sitting by the window waiting for me. I said, let me run in the house real fast, and I'm going to get this beaten, and I'll be right back out. So when I came in the house, my father said, Junior, what did you just tell your friend? First, I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, you just tell your friend, little Oscar, what? I said, oh, yeah, I just told him, let me go run in the house and get a beat real fast, and I'll be right back out. So he said, is that the way you take that? I said, Dad, you beat me every day. I said, every day you beat me, I go hurt somebody else. I said, if you think this
is... You told your father that?
Yeah. Yeah, because I wanted him to know what he was doing. I mean, you know, I used to fight...
Yeah, but you just said that parents need to beat the children, so what is it?
Yeah, yeah, but you know, some kids, it ain't going to work on. You know, it works on some, because some... See, some kids, let me tell you something about children, because I used to be a child. Some kids... You can break their will by doing certain things to them, playing mind games with them and this and that. In some cases, you can't. You know, because I used to listen to my parents, my mother and father, talk about me all the time. When I wasn't around, I would be sitting on the step listening to them talk in the kitchen about what they're going to do. What are they going to do with me? You know, they say, he don't mind, he won't listen, and nothing we do affects him. You know, so it's the child that you have to reach. And every child is different, and every situation at home is different. You know, I didn't come from bad parents. I didn't come from poverty or nothing like that. You know, the few things I had in life was all I wanted. I didn't want a lot. You know, because... I felt for other kids that I seen them not have too much. So I said, well, you know, I'm not going to have too much either because I don't want that. Because I don't want to never make kids feel bad being around me and they don't have, you know. And I always felt for other people. I was a bad kid, but at least I had feelings and emotions for other people when I was coming up, you know. But to reach the kids today, you got to find what you might consider their weakness. My father got control over me when I was about 14 years old. He found my weakness. My weakness was my girlfriend. What happened was he caught us. He did not go on purpose. We just happened to be in the basement having sex. And and he closed the door and shut the light back off. And then when I came back home later on in the day, because I had to walk her home so she could take a shower, we were going to movies that night, and I had to come back home and take a shower and take my clothes.
You was busy.
So
a busy 14-year-old, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing was, my mom and my sisters was upstairs, you know, so I couldn't sneak her in my room So I had to take it in the basement. So when I came back home, my father said, Junior, let me talk to you a minute. So I knew he wasn't going to get on my case about no girl. I knew that. I didn't know what he was going to say. He said, look, from now on, when your girlfriends come over here, he said, look, this is what you do. You take them in your room, you lock your door, you cut your TV on, you're in there watching TV as far as I'm concerned. I said, what about mommy? He said, I'll handle your mother. When he said that, I almost went in tears. Oh, damn.
Why? Why?
Because
I was there.
Because that stuff was good to him.
No, it wasn't that. It was he affected me.
He was like,
me.
They have to let me go bug wild.
No, you know what it was? I said, now he have control over me. He found my weakness, and now he's going to exploit that. And that's what I felt, because now I'm going to have to do everything he says. Whereas I wouldn't do it before.
Well,
I
you were doing a lot at that age. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you know, when you have a child that's, I'm not bragging, but, you know, when you have a child that's intelligence is above where he should be, you have to deal with them differently. But see, the thing was, you got a brilliant child, but a bad, violent child. You know, so the combination, you got to know how to work with something like that. I'm glad none of my kids turned out like that. And I was always afraid of having a son. You know, because I said, I can't go through what I put my parents through.
The karma.
You know, I can't let nobody do that to me. You know.
Right.
So,
yeah, you ain't want to, yeah, like you said, that, Avon, you didn't want to go through that karma, huh? That was just a little bit
that's
too
right.
Hard.
That, you said that payback would have been too much. But
too much.
Let me say something. As a grown man, and let's say if your father did not catch you with the young lady, what is it that you needed for that would bring you in line? What, as a grown man, and you, let's say you were your father in your father's shoes, what would it have taken for you to have the respect and to comply with your parents' wishes? What would it have taken?
Honestly, I could say probably nothing, because nothing else would have worked. You know, I can't see any difference they could have made in my life if that wouldn't have happened. You see, some things in life is supposed to occur. And obviously, my father coming home that day early, which was strange, and me being in the basement with her, which was strange, and him allowing me to do something that he knew I was going to do anyway, because, see, he was worried about my safety. Don't think he was giving in to me. He was worried about me safely doing that, because he didn't want me doing that over some female's house and getting caught by her father and then her father killing me. You know how men are with their daughters. You know,
mm-hmm.
They young teenage girls, their father will kill you. You catch them having sex with their daughters and stuff, you know. Yeah, so that's where the difference comes in. If that wouldn't have happened, I don't think he would have never been able to reach me. You know, my mother gave up. You know, she gave up trying to reach me. She said it was just total waste of time to talk to that boy. Nothing I say to him affects him. Nothing I do to him affects him. You know, he blocks out everything. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And no kind of way can we control him, because we can't, you know. See, I wasn't just doing it to bother them. I was doing it to let them know that this is my life, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do, even if I go out in that street and get myself killed, because I lived a violent life, and I benefited from it. See, people don't always understand that. Even though I was in gangs with guns and all this stuff, it shaped the character of the person that I am today. because it made me more understanding towards other people. It made me more understanding towards people's situations, and it made me understand kids better than usually their parents do. Because a lot of time, parents around here, they come to me to talk to their sons or daughters or whatever and change that situation. And a lot of kids change, some don't, but a lot of them do change. You know, because I'm like I said, a guide where Anthony's a teacher. I don't try to teach people anything. I just try to guide them in a different path so they don't go down the wrong path, wind up in jail or going to court for something. You know, and the females, I guide them a certain way, and I try to tell them that as far as sex is concerned, stay away from it. I say,
why?
You don't need that. Well,
why?
Because, see,
wait a minute, it works for you? Explain. Why?
Yeah, I know it works for me, but, you know, that was a different time
period. No, you don't. I'm not letting you get away with that one, not so easily. No, because we want to understand mindsets and how people think. So, but wait a minute. What's good for the gander ain't good for the goose? What's going on? Well, I'm not understanding. Please explain to me. I'm saying you're saying, well, you should understand where they're coming from because you said, look, I'm not going to listen to my parents. I'm going to do what the heck I want to do, and so be it, whatever. And so I hear what you're saying, but I want you to go into it a little bit more. I want you to hear yourself when you're saying these things. I see where you're going. I can understand it, but I want to hear you say these things. I'm not going to speak for you. I want to hear you. What do you say?
Well, see, you know, being the person that I was at that time, sex was everything to me. It meant like it was like part of waking up. It's like part of going to dinner. It was like, because I don't know if it's because I'm a Scorpio or whatever the case may be, but it was just something very meaningful to me. Like, it was like medication. I had to have it. You know, I don't want to see it. I have to have it. You know, and it worked because my parents gave me.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah. When did you start this exactly? Was it 14 or was it before then?
It was actually before then, but it was at 14 the situation actually changed. You know.
Hold up. Stay right there. When did it actually start, Abdul? That's right. I'm asking. When did it actually start?
Abdul was going ham.
There's a correlation here. When did it start? We're here to help the community. So you know, we'll protect the guilty up to an extent. But this is helpful to other people. Just out of curiosity, when did you start? Because look, don't be modest now. Don't be acting modest now, please.
It actually started when I was a little bit younger than that. Okay. It was a woman, I don't want to mention the name because she's still alive. And she was the only person in the neighborhood that would watch me. Nobody else would, no, Junior, no, we can't watch him. You know, and we was cool, and what happened was,
What happened was.
Well, I was attracted to her, and she was taking. She took a shower, and then you know how women do that bubble bath thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the bubble
wow.
bath.
Wow.
And I was much.
How old was you?
And,
how old was you?
9 years old, Angela. He was 9 years old. Doggone it. He was nine. Oh my God.
Wow. That was molestation. That wasn't no.
That's
no,
what
but
said.
She
he had to protect the guilty.
I came in the bathroom when she was in the tub. She said, "Junior, you can't be in here while I'm doing this." I said, I can't help myself. I said, I've seen you through the mirror when you walked by. And I seen you, you know, when you was getting on,
going into it.
So I said,
we don't want to hear the details we get from you. Okay. We don't want to hear the details. We totally get what you're saying, but right. That wasn't cool. I don't want to hear no 9-year-old.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty, yeah, that was sad.
Was it sad for me?
Look, Angela, he was breastfed literally at age 9.
And
nine.
It
was so
ridiculous. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
Look, I'm just guessing at that age, but I got a feeling it was around there. It was around that time. But go on. Continue.
Yeah. So, you know, I got in there with her, and she said, you know, this is not right. I said, you know, look, don't worry about
that.
So?
You think so? You think not?
You think? Oh, Lord. Look, and be careful. Not too many details. Not too many details. So we know that it occurred.
For
and it
real.
Happened. And then from that point on, you were hooked. Okay. There's a sense to say that you were hooked.
You know what? Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mother was the first one to pick up on that because she knew now I always wanted to go over her house all the time. You know, like.
Oh, Lord.
You know, Junior don't like to be bothered with nobody. Why is he going over there all the time? She ain't watching him no more. And I was just over there all the time.
I don't want to be a continuous witness to even though it happened many years ago.
I'm glad we're going to have to report this now. So we're going
right.
to step away.
We're going to, you know, we might, you know, turn some folks in. But, listen, you know, what you did as a kid and what other kids do nowadays, I mean, it's totally different. Avon said that, you know, what do you do when, you know, you're dealing with kids, you know, and it's not that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Say it again because you've had a
problem.
When
you're dealing with kids.
You got to find a way to reach the children. That's the whole thing. You got to find their strengths. And always find the weakness. That's what you got to use. See, you got to use that so they don't know that's what you're doing. You know, you got to find out what bothers them and play on that. Because, see, I used to, when my kids was home, they hated for me to talk to them sternly, you know, because their mom never did that. But I used to do that, and I'd curse them out, too. I ain't telling other people to do that. I should curse my kids out. Let them know that, hey, I'm taking care of you, you know, and nobody else is doing this but me. I'm paying all the bills. I'm taking care of the faith here at home. So you're going to do what I tell you to do. And they didn't have a lot of stuff to do. I mean, it's like, you know, they wanted to eat and then leave the dishes in the sink and get to it later. Uh-uh. You eat dinner, I cooked it, you go wash that stuff when you're done, right now. It was just a little minor stuff, you know, because I didn't have no bad kids. They were just hard-headed, like all kids going to be. Lazy.
Hard-headed like whom? Like whom? Wait. Hard-headed like whom? Who were they hard-headed like?
Like me. Yeah. You know, I was the laziest kid in the world. My father used this word on me called procrastinator. He called me a procrastinator one time. I had no idea what that meant. I had to go to school next day and look that word up in the library because he said, you're nothing but a procrastinator. And I was wondering, what is that? Is that good? Is that bad? You know, because I couldn't tell from the way he used it what he meant by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one day when I was leaving out of the house, this always made me laugh. I was 12 years old. My father was talking about me being so lazy or something like that, right? I said, but Dad, let me tell you something. No offense. I do more in my sleep than you do in real life. And walked out the door, you know.
Boy, you were looking to get hurt, I'm telling you. You were looking to get hurt.
Right, he needs to tell that story now, especially from his back in those days. He's lucky.
I walked out the door when I said that, you know. And when I came back home, my father said, you know something, son? Something is definitely wrong with you. You get more done in your sleep than I do in real life. I said, yeah. He said, right. You're right. You got that, son. You know.
Your parents didn't get a check for you?
Huh?
Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Oh, God. No, you
did
didn't.
Your parents need to get, you know, a check?
You know, I had somebody ask me that. Adult.
Ching, 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 ching.
You know, they said to me one time. I'm
no, but
home,
you didn't answer it. Don't answer it. Did your parents used to get a check? That's all I want to know.
Not that I know of.
You?
Just having me was a
pleasure. They probably didn't tell you. They probably said, you know what, we're going to have patience. We get that $7.50, whatever it was back then. We're going to have patience. They get that good check covered in.
He said, we're going to wait him out. We're going to wait him out. We got him.
We got to let that kid go.
Uh-huh.
Just let him feel like he's doing something. Meanwhile,
that's right.
Meanwhile,
the more he acts up, the more we get. Yep.
Right, exactly.
Let me tell you about this other incident, right? My aunt was watching us when we was young. I was about 10, and my sister's older, and I have one younger sister. So my father told me to come in the house before they leave, and that was about 10 o'clock, because they was getting ready to leave to go to New York to go catch some plane to go to some, what do you call that when you ride on a ship? Cruise, yeah, cruise stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, I came in the house, like my father said, 10 o'clock before they left. As soon as they left, I'm going back outside. My aunt, Daddy says, Junior, your father told you to come in the house. I said, I did. I did exactly what he said. He said, come in the house before they leave. I came in the house before they left, and now I'm going back out. He said, no, he wants you. I said, no. He didn't say he wanted me to stay in the house. He told me to come in before they leave. I said, what part of that you didn't understand? She said, I'm going to tell him when he come back. I said, oh, please, hurt my feelings, and walked out. No, see, I always get people on technicalities all the time. My parents told me to do something.
Well,
I'm only going to do what they said do. Nothing more than
Angela, according to this and listening to this, I say this in all sincerity. We would not be here doing this show today if I had a child that was going to challenge me and things like this. I'm just saying. This would have turned out a whole different way. That's all I'm going to say.
His parents just said, I'm going to get a check for this dude. If he go out there and hurt himself, that won't be on us. That's what you guys said. You know what? If something happened to him, you can't take it seriously. Don't take it personally. Oh, God, just don't take it personal. But, Abdul, thank you for all your good stories, Abdul. We like hearing you tell your stories. But what's the next? What's on the topic? We talked about religion. We talked about family.
All right.
What's up next?
Religion. Okay. Oh, not to offend anybody. But I gave both of you the naked truth, the hidden truth, and that's all about religion, because I was going to do that. I had a couple guys with me and some females.
Mm-hmm.
We was going to put this thing together about religion, but these guys from Connecticut beat us to it. And you should watch that DVD I gave you. And what that is a breakdown of religion. Religion was created by people to control the masses of the people's minds. It is all, when I say all, it is all fake, everything. There's no such thing as God in heaven, devil in hell. No, that don't exist. There's a creator, obviously. That's the most obvious thing there is. These planets, with all these people on them, cannot exist unless they were created. The sun in the sky cannot exist unless it was created. There is a creator that has created all life everywhere. And this is what the humans don't know. Not that part, this part. They really think, a lot of them, that they are the only beings that exist. On this planet itself, you got three life forms down here. You only know about one, the human race. You got the aliens that live here, too. Admiral Wilson Perry.
You ever seen an alien before?
No.
Like, did you ever have some type of encounter?
I've seen demons, though. Demons and aliens are the same beings. So I guess you could say, yeah. That there's the demonic beings that exist, they're the aliens. The aliens are the demons. They want to fool you to make you think one is one thing and one the other is another thing, and they're the same. Aliens are, and let me tell you this, aliens did not come from another planet. They come here from another dimension, right here on Earth. You know, when I was
a kid. You're saying that from different portals or something? They come through a portal? How'd it happen, Abdul?
I don't know exactly how they get here. All I know is they come from this dimension, from their dimension. Scientists will tell you there's 8, 9, 12, 15 dimensions. There's only four. We live right now in the second dimension. That's to you and I, our present dimension. The first dimension is the future, tomorrow, next year, next week. The third dimension is the past, what we've already done that we're aware of. Einstein said that the three dimensions run concurrently together, which is true. Anybody that's into physics could tell you that, that what you're doing today, you've already done. What you're doing yesterday, you've already done. Because you growing up is going on right now. You being here today is happening right now. And what you're doing tomorrow is already occurring. And a lot of physicists had to agree with them because of you live in the time by the rotation of this planet. See, a lot of people never studied this stuff. But I did. Ever since I was placed here on this planet, I had to study what goes on here with the humans. And I've always felt that they
with
missed.
The humans?
Oh, I said
with
that.
The humans, you had to fun.
Oh.
No, you said
you
with
know.
The humans. If you do something else for humans?
No.
Let us know.
I slipped when I said that. Sorry.
I don't want to disclose that. We understand that, too.
And then a question also. Are aliens, you said aliens are the same as the demons?
Yes,
they're
creatures.
That's your belief?
Yes, and Satan, this creature you call Satan, the Egyptians used to call him sarcophagus, and that was a term for death and burial because you got put in a sarcophagus, and that's what they used to call this ancient creature. That's where the term God came from, the Egyptians. And everybody took from them because the Egyptians used to worship dog gods. So if you reverse the word God, you got dog. If you reverse the word dog, you got God. That's where it came from. There is no God. There is just a creator who created all life. And he's the most high creator, and that's the reason why that term is used, because he's higher than all, but he's not a God. And the thing is, this planet is coming to an end, if you notice. All over the world, you have catastrophes all over the place. And specifically in the United States, every day you have mass madness, madness of all different kinds. You have weather madness. You have madness in the streets, all these killings and shootings and stabbings and blowing ups. You know, it's like what happened? We live in the real end of times. The planet will never be destroyed, just the people, you know. And people address that to the Bible. The Bible is a satanic blueprint for what the future is going to turn out to be. That's what it is. That's why people can correlate everything in the Bible with what's happening today, the madness that goes on. Uncontrollable children, uncontrollable adults, uncontrollable weather, uncontrollable conditions. It's got so bad on this planet that they want to get off the planet and live on another planet now. That's what they, that's why they keep talking about going to Mars. You know, they're trying to find a way to get out of here before this all comes to play. Because they know that the Earth is no longer habitable. The atmosphere is poison and destroyed. The air is poison and destroyed. The water you drink or have to bathe with is poison and destroyed. And the food source ain't even real no more. They create animals now. That stuff you buy in the store, beef, meat, chicken, fish, that's fake. That's all cloned food.
You know what, though? You know what, though? With that said, just real quick, Abdul.
Yeah.
One thing about the food, though, I do taste a different. It don't taste. I don't. It's just
when you was a kid.
It just don't taste good, right? It don't taste. It don't taste all that no more. Even the vegetables.
Yeah.
Fruits and vegetables don't even taste the same.
Taste the same. That's right.
It really don't. And I was just thinking that the other day. I was like, it's wrong. Like, is it just me? But it's you know, it's something that you said that. But Avon, do just one moment. Let me just see the check in with Avon. What's on our next topic? Because Abdul, we gave you some good quality time here.
Okay.
Yes, we did. Our next topic is the question is, can the average African-American man afford to take care of his woman and keep her home? That is the question.
I believe there's men. Yeah, I believe so. I believe that there's men out there like that.
Average.
I believe that, you know, as a woman will have to find that type of man, but I believe there's plenty of men like that. If you want to provide a man, I believe that you can get your provider man. Not this man like that.
But the question was,
I don't know about Abdul.
Listen to how the question was stated. Can the average African-American man afford to take care of his woman and keep her home? The key word here is
average. Right. Mm-hmm. I know that's what I was just locked on to. Well, see, you know, that varies. It depends on what the woman herself wants in her life as far as living conditions and the type of man she wants in her life. All men are not suitable for all women. I mean, you know, and when you say average, that's a hard term to me because every person is different and they're average for the conditions that they live under. So, you know, every man cannot afford to give certain women a certain way of life. So, you know, I can't say that's an average person or that's a non-average person. I mean, you know, it depends on how that man himself is living. I mean, women got to always take into account a man's financial means. I mean, you know, truthfully, when I grew up as a kid, it was always this way. No romance without finance. You know, if you ain't got the money for a brother, cut her loose. You know, and that's the way, I can't say that's the way it should be today because every individual is different. You know, I wouldn't want my daughters are poor, all three of them. They did that to themselves because they ain't listen to me. And, you know, their mom was no big advisor. So they're poor, and they're going to be poor forever, so they're going to always deal with a certain type of individual Okay.
Hold up. Wait a minute. No, I'm not going to let you go. Proceed with that one. Oh, you're going to back up here. Now,
right.
What did you tell them? That therefore, because they did not listen to you, what did you tell them?
I told them to go to college. They didn't want to do that. Do you know what their mother told them? When this is what made me and her separate. When they was little kids, my youngest two daughters was, I think, 6 and maybe 4. Yeah, 6 and 4. When I was telling them about going to college and all this kind of stuff, right? Their mother said, everyone ain't got to go to college to make it in this world. And, you know, it's like I snapped, but I didn't respond in front of my children. And I said, Bo, because that's what I call the nickname, Bo. And I said, let's go out. I said, y'all go to bed. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. And then I talked to her and told her, don't you ever tell my kids about not going to school. But see, they never had the will to go to college. And because of that, they're poor. And they're going to stay poor. I don't care what I have in life. I'm not helping them. Because my help was to raise them. I raised them from childhood to this till they got adulthood, and then they went on their own. My job is not to help them out throughout life. No, the only thing in life I could do to give them is advice. That's it. My parents didn't have to do nothing. They couldn't advise me on anything. I did it all myself. And my parents always told me I can't judge others by myself, which I don't. Okay,
but let me ask you, Avon said, do you think that that goes to show? Do you still think take the average black man could take care of their woman?
Yes, it depends on the woman and the man. It depends on what she wants the man to be and what she wants to get out of the lifestyle that she's going to live with that person. You know, so, you know, it comes down to financial means. Everybody has different financial requirements, you know, like if, I don't mean this in a no negative way, so don't take it no negative way. I mean, I deal, because I, you know.
Sometimes you could be a little bit mad, right? So I'm glad you said that. I appreciate that you said that, right. Okay. Okay, thank you for recognizing that.
I deal with rich and wealthy people all the time because I do computer stuff for them, you know, and then some illegal stuff. And so because that's
allegedly,
the class of people I...
Allegedly, he thinks he snapped.
Yes, allegedly.
Shout out to Kwame Brown.
Yeah, allegedly. Okay, and... So I'd be around their daughters and their nieces and their cousins, and you know, they're always trying to throw one of them at me for some reason because they know that, you know, we live in the same financial class, so it's okay. And with a woman, she should try to, if she can, get somebody in the same financial class or above her. You know, I'm not saying that a man has less to her is not qualified to be with her, because you'll find a lot of men that don't have the same financial means that's a much better person than those that have. Okay, so because money corrupts people. Okay, so you can find a good brother out there that has less, but he's a better person. That's why I don't never classify myself above anybody, ever, because I know there's much better. Like Brother Anthony, he's a much better man than I'll ever be in life. I just don't have that with me, you know. And I'm glad he grew up to be the person that he is today. I know him since he was a little kid. You know?
Well, that's
so
nice.
I'll never,
he would like to hear.
And I'm a good person, but I have limits. You know, and with women, it should always be, you have to look at how you want to live. You know, that's the whole thing. How do you want to live as a female? The wants, the needs, the have-to-haves and the things you don't want going on. You know, first of all, a woman should
answer that. I think that was. Hold on for 1 minute. I think he answered that very eloquently. That part, that it depends on the needs of a woman.
Yes.
Can the average man take care of women? It would be that. Yeah, that's a good. Can you know, is it that? How can the average man take care of women? I mean, is she? It depends on the needs of a woman, right?
Well, I have a couple of questions there. There's a thought. I have a thought on that. You said a couple of things here. I want to ask. I'm gonna ask them quickly because time is running. So you said one of the things that you are upset with your daughters, and you know they're this and that because they didn't listen to you and take the advice, and they didn't go to college. Are you saying that the only way that you can achieve wealth is to go through college? Or that's the only way that you can get an education or an understanding of things, if you must go to college, and then
what I'm saying is that's a start. You know, that's just a start. Because other people have been successful, you know, without ever going to college. You know, and some people dropped, I mean, I'll give you a for instance, Bill Gates, he dropped out of college. You know, he stole what he got. You know, a lot of people don't know the story about him. He stole what's called Windows operating system today from Steve Jobs, the guy that created Apple. So it ain't always going to college going to get you what you want. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's a start. You know, it's somewhere to start.
It's somewhere to start, but then like you said, he dropped out, though.
Yeah, he dropped out because, yeah, he went and he found it to be boring. And, you know, Steve Jobs gave, I ain't going to give you the whole story about it, but Steve Jobs gave him, he said, look, they were friends, because they met in college, they were friends, so he said, hey, man, I got a product,
and
I can't get it to work.
I don't mean Steve Jobs took a lot of stuff from IBM.
Yeah, well, see, IBM, let me explain something to you about IBM. You don't know this, but I'll tell you. IBM was the hardware masters of the world at one time, not software. Bill Gates and software, two different systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No,
he
but
stole,
I heard that. I still heard that. I heard that he took some stuff from Bill Gates. Hijack a lot of whatchamacallit stuff.
Well, what he did to IBM,
IBM
was.
Stuff.
He took some IBM products and put them out of the business of software. IBM software don't exist anymore because IBM at one time had the software world. And Apple was trying to, Steve Jobs at Apple was trying to get in there. And Bill Gates stole from Apple. He stole from Steve Jobs and he stole from IBM also. And he made the greatest operating system in the world still to this day. Nobody can supersede Windows. Yeah, so he did steal. He's a thief. But he made it.
But we got that. But let's get back to the point.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You did. That's the first question was that, no, it's a start. That's not the end-all, be-all, because there are a lot of people that are successful today that did not complete college or did not even start it. So you answered that question. The next question is how do you qualify average? What is average? You did explain, and that is correct, that it depends on what the woman's need is, whatever. But then also, we got to understand and be on the same page as what is average.
To be on the same page. It depends on what you feel average is. And, what do you feel if you average or not? Like, what do you feel?
Yeah.
You know, because people define different things. You could be what it seems to be average in one thing, but you might be great and above average in something else. So that make you overall average?
Right. See, average for a person is what they consider,
relative.
A man considers.
I think
it's
relative.
That's right. It's relative.
Yeah.
It's relative.
So we can't
a
get
woman's choice
that because you might be exceptional. Hold on for 1 minute. let me just say this.
Yes.
You might be exceptional in one area in your life. You might be African corporate America, but you an exceptional mother. Like, so you like above average. Like, you just know you are. You go way and above in that area. Do that make you an average person overall? You know, we're not going to be in every area, right? So
right.
Might be some areas, most of your peers, or you supersede most people around you. Okay, that don't mean you average overall, but you might be exceptional one or two areas in your life. So I believe that average is relative.
Absolutely.
You might have
a hard one because everyone is different. You know, you can't speak average for, you know, I don't believe anybody is actually average in anything, truthfully.
That's what
because,
I want to hear. There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody excels in different areas, you know. And so no one is actually average, period. You know, that's the way I look at life, and I don't judge anybody being average because they always know something I might not know, and I might not know something they don't know. You know, stuff like that. You know, so it depends on especially when it comes to female-male relationship. It's no such thing as an average man, and it's no such thing as an average woman. You know, it's to each his own. What a woman is looking for in life, if she finds this in this man, and if he don't have the financial means, but if she feels as though she can make it with him, then she should do so. You know, that's the way I feel. You know.
Exactly.
And
I think, go ahead.
And the other
okay,
thing
but
the dude, man,
I mean, she did. Is this thing going on now, right? It's conversations going on the internet saying that black women need worrying about going to college, getting jobs, to become stay-at-home woman, right? So, and I'm sure they're talking about women, that, you know, young women coming up. So the question is that I have, can men afford that? Like, can the average black man afford a woman stay home, according to what just the conversations are going on of, you know, men saying that women need to be at home raising kids, and this is why the black community is out of order. What would you say about that?
Well, I never believed that women should stay at home. I always believed that women should have some type of career bound within themselves to have their own. See, a woman should never rely on a man. That's the first thing. You always have male or female. A woman should never, ever rely on just the man. She should rely on herself first. It's just good to have the man with you, but don't rely on him. You know, you just have him as part of your life. You rely always on yourself. He should be your backup. You know, he should be the person you could fall on, but not your primary. You should be always the primary,
but that,
you're female.
But that debunks family, right? That debunks men being at a household and men earning the money and she being at home and raising isn't provided in the home, staying at home. Because they say a lot of men are talking, a lot of men are saying that being that women are, you know, can work and income and go to school, that it broke down the household.
Well, you know,
so women feel like they don't understand.
Yeah, they don't, you know, see, the old ways, like your parents and my parents, it was always the mom was usually home with the kids, you know, raising the kids while dad go out and work. But, you know, that don't work in today's society. And even in the generation I came up with, that don't work there either. Both parents,
why
if they're both
that,
at home. Because you can't stay home no more. Because, first of all, it'd be foolish on a woman's part to rely on this man for support, and she ain't working, and she ain't bringing home no income. Because then you're dependent upon him for your lifestyle. And that's very foolish. You know, you should never want your daughters to depend on a man.
But what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that if your job is to stay home, cook, clean, and take care of kids? At least you're taking care of your kids.
Because you know why? That don't put no money in your pocket. That don't have you give you a bank account. Okay? That don't give you no savings nowhere. Okay? You have only what he provides for you, and that's where you don't want to put yourself. You don't want to put yourself. Your kids are dependent on you. You don't want to be a dependent of somebody else. You don't want to be a man's dependent.
So do you think that's the best message? Do you think that's the best message to teach black young women instead of depending on a man? Because men are saying that, okay, but what about the talking points that men are saying, yo, you depend on me. We want women. The modern day women are too independent. They need to depend on a woman.
Well, you know what?
They need to be able to depend on a man. They need to be able to depend on a man to give them money, and that will make a better community, a better household and community, because now everything is everyone's dependent on daddy to bring home and the husband to bring home money while she stay focused raising the children for them to be raised properly to go out into the society.
Always depend on themselves first, never with a man, because let me tell you something. Very few relationships today stay in place. Here today, going tomorrow. You know, you might be the love of his life now, but somebody else might catch his attention. So now he wants to leave home, and he's going to leave you stuck home with the kids if he ain't taking the kids from you. You know what I mean? See, I'm the type of man that if I was leaving a woman, I'm taking the kids too. And she ain't taking my kids. The kids are coming with me. So that's no issues, because I can never leave my kids on somebody else when I don't want them raised by their mother. You know, I figure I could be a better advisor for them. That's all. I could be a better advisor
that
for them.
That happened with
than
you and your situation. But then you say that happened with you and your situation. The kids didn't want to go with the mother because the mother didn't have no money.
No money.
So then that was your
fault
because you should have still provided.
Oh, listen, hold on. Wait up, dude. Wait a minute. Listen, I just want to say this because the time is winding down. You're going to answer that. But I want to say thank you to our listening audience for joining in with us, conversation with A&A. You know, follow us. Continue to follow us on Twitter and on Instagram, conversation with A&A. The call-in number was 515-605-9322. We want to say thank you to Abdul for joining us. I want to thank my co-host, Angela. We had a great time this evening. We had a wonderful topic, and we could go on for days with this. But I just wanted to say this now. So, Abdul, we're going to let you give your final thought on this. And then, Angela, you give us your final thought, and then we'll wrap it up from there. Okay, go ahead, Abdul.
Yeah. As far as myself was concerned, my kids knew where the money was coming from. They knew their mother didn't have no money, and my kids was brought up having everything. So why would they want to change that? I couldn't take care of them the same way if they was living with her. It wouldn't be the same. You know what I mean? With me, there's no question about what they're going to have, what they're being able to do. Their mother couldn't do what I did. My kids are used to doing stuff. I take them to the movies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Because on Saturday, I was in New York. You know, then, you know, the mom could come over anytime. She wanted to cook for them, which my kids really prefer my cooking. But, you know, if she wanted to cook for them or whatever, she'd come over here anytime she wanted. You know, no restrictions whatsoever. She had full access to the kids whenever she wanted to take them somewhere. As long as they wanted to go, it was okay. You know, so it was, you don't put no blockage when it comes to your kids. You don't play games when it comes to your kids. When you're separated, the two parents, you don't play games and use the kids as pawns. You don't do that. But my kids knew they was brought up like I was brought up. I would never go with my mother. I would go with my father. He got the money, you know. And I hate to be truthful, but that's the way it is. Why would you go with somebody to have less when I know I can be with somebody that got more. Because the more they have, the more I'm getting. You know, so I'm not going with mom and dad got the money. You know, I'm going to stay with him. You know, because he got what I want. Mom don't. Now, I don't know if that's right or wrong, when you look at it, but that's the honest truth. And my kids were brought up, I brought them up like I was brought up, to have whatever you want up to a limit and not too much. You know, like I only gave my kids used to complain to my parents about I give them less allowance than he had. My parents gave me $50 a week, the four of us, my father, and I gave them $20 a week, and that's all they got. You know, because I had to spend a lot of money on a lot of food, stuff they wanted, clothes, and because I had to borrow their clothes in New York, you know. And that's why I shop for all their stuff, because I was always up there. So I said, I might as well shop for their stuff while I'm up there, too. And
right.
Well, so, you know, it's how you bring your kids up to how they're going to be, how they're going to do their kids. They, you know, more than likely, they ain't going to be able to do their kids the same way because they're not going to have the same means if they don't go through the same things you went through as far as going to school, going to college. But I do stress going to college to these kids today because, see, they got everything situated today that if you don't go to college, they're not even going to look at you. You know, we'll get back to you and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's what they do. Because without a degree today, these kids ain't getting nothing. They ain't getting no job. Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, you know, stuff like that. They're not going to get in no corporate world no kind of way without a degree. And it depends on where these kids want to be, what they want in life. So the educational part has to happen. That's why I tell parents, you got to put in their minds, they got to go to college. They have to. And the thing is, you can go to college for free now. You ain't got to pay no more. You got, like, New York.
What college is that? What college is that?
No, yeah, New York got free colleges. Yes, yeah, they started it first, and then the country fell into place. You ain't going to go to these big universities, but you can go to a small one. Yeah, they got free education that started in New York. Free education.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, hello?
Are you there? Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. Our show is about to end. So, no, I don't know what happened. I think it was the board. But we would like to just say thank you for your contributions tonight. Interesting. We've come up with some interesting thought-provoking ideas and ideologies. And just a lot of, you know, a lot of feedback that you gave in terms of what's taking place out there. Because what we say is going, I mean, what we feel is what's actually happening out there may look or be different at this time. Thank you, you know, once again. Avon, do you have anything else that you want to say? Okay, I think I lost Avon there. But once again, thanks all our listeners calling in and listening.
Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
Conversation with A&A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We counting down now. We really appreciate everybody. Avon, you have any closing statements?
No. Again, thanks to Abdul for joining us this evening. Thanks to you. You're here in Conversations with A&A, and tonight's topic was Let's Talk About It, Religion, Family, and Community. And with this, we want you to really think about this and, you know, digest a lot of the things that we spoke about today and, you know, share with us what can we do to help our community to go forward and to help make some changes in what we see in the world today. And like I said,